Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're still talking about technology. Did you know?
We are.
So, in case you missed it, our last episode was about technology, and we're trying this new thing where we have multiple episodes about things. So, today is also about technology. You should go listen to 107 if you have not.
But today is smarter.
Today, we're putting our glasses on.
I just pulled up my little document.
Oh my god, I have my document up too. Do you want to start with a submission?
Okay, so this is the submission. Oh my god, I just saw your fucking story asking for text stories from school, and girl, do I have a fucking story for you. Okay, so this was back in the day before one-to-one, like every kid had Chromebooks. So when it came for county testing, they would assign us a computer cart, and there were only 30 computers, and I obviously had like 31 kids. They were just banking on some kid not fucking showing up or whatever, which is usually the case, but just 30 computers, and that's it. And I only have 50 minutes to test the kids. So I get all the Chromebooks passed out and get everyone settled in, and we're about to start the test, and a kid goes, "This computer's not working." And I was like, "No, silly, that can't be." And then, "Yeah, mine isn't working either." And then all of a sudden, "Yeah, mine isn't. And I'm like, no. So I emailed the testing coordinator, and I'm like, "What do I do? This is the county test, and I really don't know. Like, should I try to get them to keep trying on the computers?" And he was like, "Hold on, I'm on the way." This guy is like 60 and insane, but so I'm on the way, and all of the sudden this motherfucker, she told me the name of the person, but this motherfucker busts into the room with another Chromebook and starts flinging out the kids, go log in. So now, oh my gosh, this one's not working either. And he's like, "Fuck." And then he leaves to go get another Chromebook cart again. At this point, there's 90 fucking Chromebooks in my room. They're all mixing together, and he's passing those out. And he's like, "Oh guys, come on, we gotta go to the media center and pick up all the kids." And they leave and never come back. And I'm sitting in my room with a pile of 90 Chromebooks, and no one ever came back for them.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
I don't think I've ever seen 90 Chromebooks in the same room.
No, I would think
good on y'all,
like,
for having that many.
I would think there was like a spawning issue. Have you seen the AI videos where somebody like shows corn or something like exploding out of a object at it? Crazy rate.
I really like the one where it looks like food and then it turns into animals. Like, it looked like someone was scooping vanilla ice cream and then it was just like 30 polar bears like cuddling on each other. Those are my favorite AIs. They scare me too. I kind of like it. It's like a haunted house, which ironically I don't like haunted houses, but now seeing those videos I get it. And I've always said I don't, who pays money to be scared? That's fucking weird. But now I'm watching those AI dogs that look like fried chicken, and like, I understand. I like
how
that scared.
How do I not know? You know what that reminds me of? Now that you mention them, I'm sure I'll see them pop up all the time. But I have only seen like a CAPTCHA. I don't know how to say that word out loud. But it's like you have to select the little things.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an AI one of them when I was trying to log into Discord. It was like, "What pictures match this vibe?" And it was like noodle dogs. And I had to pick the things that were also noodle dogs. And I was like, what are we doing here?
We've lost the plot. Like, I'm getting canceled right now for using AI. And everyone keeps telling me that a Google search can do the same thing. I am not going to break down my workflow to you. Just trust me, it can't.
Google now uses AI when you search Google, no?
It does. But like, so the main thing I use AI for is like multiple different departments. This is very in line with technology. Multiple departments at my district will ask for similar things, but in different formats and slightly different versions. Or they'll send me, like, I have to take data that's from Excel and then put it into a PDF thing. So the main thing I use AI for, and I literally pay like a gazillion fucking dollars for ChatGPT Premium, is I'll upload multiple documents and be like, take these numbers from document 3 and type up a report for document 4. Like, and I tell it to kind of use documents to fill in each other. And like, you just can't do that with Google. So like, I'm sorry, I'm killing the planet. I will stop eating almonds to like counteract it. So like, we're neutral now, I think.
I forgot about the almonds.
Almonds are fucking our planet up. I don't even like almonds. I feel like I need to be transparent that I volunteered that because I don't like them. I'm sorry.
I love an almond milk.
I'm you know me, Republican milk. Like, I, when it comes to milk, I identify as Republican.
Big milk has ya.
It really does. I would never drink milk straight, though. For everyone listening, milk to me is an ingredient, not a beverage.
I will say that I also obviously don't drink milk straight because it would give me explosive diarrhea instantly, probably. I don't know. But it tastes like pus to me. Anyways, moving on. I think that unsweetened Almond Breeze almond milk tastes like what the Lord meant for milk to taste like, but he got it wrong. They say God doesn't make mistakes, but he definitely made mistakes when he led us to drinking cow's milk.
I think God's non-binary. Take that, the Pope. Today in front of my whole class, my co-teacher asked what my religious views are, and I answered. Speaking of God. In her defense, we were talking about the Enlightenment, which is in our standards.
Why did she ask you that?
So she was giving the example, like, one of it was about, like, one of the things they have to learn is that during the Enlightenment period, a lot of people, like, converted. And so she was like, so if I was Catholic, maybe I would convert. And I was like, oh, they would be all over me because, like, I didn't grow up in any one particular religion. So, like, I would be someone that they would want to convert. And then she was like, so what do you believe now? Are you atheist? And I was like, so I wouldn't identify as atheist because it has a definitive nature that I don't feel comfortable. Like, I literally was getting into it so deep. And my class, let me tell you, this class, only boys, 24 of them. 24 17-year-old boys had to watch two middle-aged women talk about their religious views.
I'm speechless. You've rendered me speechless. Jesus. So,
and then kids were like, oh, I'm Protestant. And one kid was like, my church has the cross. I don't know which one we are. And I was like, real.
You said cultural relevancy and personal connection today being modeled for you here.
And to anyone who's criticizing me, let me watch you teach about John Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, to 24 17-year-old boys. That for me.
So far today, you have said that you're destroying the planet with AI. You are buying into big milk and big dairy, and you're talking about religion in public schools.
We have been recording for 9 minutes and 57 seconds. In the standard. But there's only one real religion in schools, and that religion is iReady Data.
And we landed the plane.
I would make a great pilot.
If we're going to talk about AI, we could talk about that in terms of the technology in schools right now. The kids are using it, and there's all kinds. Oh my God, she's kicking a can around.
That's like such a 1940s ass activity. I love that.
We're in this new legal territory with AI where it's uncharted in so many ways. How do you use it? Do you teach the kids to use it responsibly? Do you teach the kids to use it not at all? Because in my opinion, especially with teenagers, if you say don't use this at all, they're going to absolutely use it behind your back. So like, I don't know what level of controversy this is actually. I think that we should be doing two things simultaneously throughout schooling. One, we should be teaching kids to do shit like use the dictionary, use an encyclopedia, do old-fashioned research, and then show them how to do like an outline for a research paper. And then once they're good at it and they know what they're doing, then okay, how can AI make that go faster for you?
Yeah. Like it should be like a progression, not step one.
Right. And I think the reason I like Common Core Math, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I like it because Number Sense teaches you why and how things like multiplication works. Why the hell fractions are even a thing?
My God. Today, one of my kids asked me to help them with this math problem that was a triangle. And like the way the class erupted in laughter because he was like, are you good at math? And I was like, sometimes. What are you doing? And then he showed me and it was like a triangle. And he was like, oh, if this is sine, then what is this? And I looked at him and I said, it's really all about your perspective on it. Like depending on someone's perspective, they might answer that question differently. And the class just started laughing and I was like, what? And they were like, that was not an answer. Do you not know how to do our homework? And I was like, when I was 17, I did know how to do that. Like, I remember knowing how to do that. And I was like, okay, call me when you're 27 and I'm gonna ask you what the cosine tangent is and let's see if you know.
Literally, like, why would I know that? So it's things like that that I'm like,
they shouldn't be using the AI app that asked me to do a brand deal where you can scan the math problem and it does it for you.
No, like if you have like the depth of knowledge and you are 42 and you are never, ever going to like be learning new things ever again. Not that 42 year olds have given up on learning.
At 42, your brain is done. Oh. You it's downhill knowledge wise. You're going to just be forgetting. Nothing new coming in, just old exiting.
I'm just saying, I think that that should not be something that is given to a teenager, because if I was given that, I would have been so much worse off with math or English or anything than I already am. So I just think that like the robots should work for us. They should be doing administrative tasks.
What the robots should be doing is exactly what I'm using them for, because I'm perfect. I upload two lists and say which people are on both of these lists. That is a robot-ass task.
Yeah, it is really. It's very difficult to do that in Excel, by the way. I tried many, many times, and I fucked it up. I got found out that I made a mistake at my corporate job before I could cover my ass. So with all of this, there are legal challenges right now. So a family in Massachusetts is pissed, and they're taking legal action because their son did a paper and the school is saying, you plagiarized, you used AI. And the parents are saying, no, he used like an outline tool and he wrote it himself. And blah, 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 blah.
And I think they also are mad that like AI wasn't in the code of conduct or something.
Yes, it says this remains an open dispute between the two parties as to what the school's AI policy is and whether it was breached. So these are the kind of conversations that we're having in schools, not only like, how the fuck are we going to teach this? What's, and adults don't even know like about ethical AI use. Like we're arguing amongst ourselves. I think it's pretty unanimous that like AI art is bad. I don't think anybody's like, disputing
not
that.
Not even bad on like a deep societal level. It's bad on a surface level looking at it.
It's ugly. It's not good. And yeah, it's morally reprehensible. Somebody told me it's also destroying the environment. I just said, okay, I didn't research it. I believe
it's them. Because so I this is like a stupid person explanation. So if you're like also a stupid person, it'll make sense to you. But if you're a smart person, you're gonna be like, what idiots? So AI, you know, when you're editing on your MacBook Air and that fan starts kicking. Yeah. So AI uses a lot of computer power. So like the data processing centers get really hot. And so they have to use a lot of water to like cool them down, apparently. So it's bad because it uses a lot of water, and it's bad because it emits a lot of heat into the atmosphere.
Okay. Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. So it's bad.
Yeah, so like when your computer fan is like kicking, that's what's happening, but like times 1,000 with like a water fan to like cool down the building, I guess. I don't really know like the details of that.
That makes sense.
So like using Google also causes the same environmental problem, but AI uses so much more processing power than a Google search does. Mm-hmm. So that's why a lot of people are mad that AI is like opening and defaulting, because it's like, we're wasting energy in places where we don't need it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because like it does use a ton of energy to use it. So in my opinion, it should only be used like when necessary and opt in. It should not just like appear on a Google search, because like maybe I didn't need AI just then. I could have just found it on Wikipedia.
Totally. And I think, again, like that's just more of a case for we need to have guidelines and structure around how AI is being used, not just like willy-nilly throwing shit at the wall. And somebody was using AI as a freaking therapist, apparently.
I saw a lot of people in TikTok comments saying that, and I was like, oh, we need the healthcare reform so badly in this country.
I know.
I should tell my therapist about that. She would be so scared.
Our healthcare system is abysmal. Anyways, that's a whole other... Okay, I'm losing it. But one of the law professors at Ohio State University, Amy Schmitz, she talked to parents.com about this. And she was like, we're going to see more of these lawsuits coming about. And it's going to come down to specifics every single time. She says, you go to one school and they're like, we banned it completely and nobody's allowed to touch it. And then I'll ask them, what about spell check? And they're like, well, that's okay. And she explains spellcheck uses AI.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the nitty gritty details that it's coming down to.
That court case in Massachusetts, can I just say, I'd like to meet the teacher that said, yeah, let's go to court. I'm not changing it. I'd like to meet you. And I think any of my students, none of them listen to this, but if any of you have found yourself here, I have all the time in the world.
Yeah.
And the thought of wearing a pink pants suit to your parents in court is incredible. Play with me.
Like I always say, I support teachers' rights and teachers' wrongs. I don't give a shit who's right or wrong. I love that you went to court. I love
that. You're like, yeah, I am going to go to court over the 11th grade research paper.
Yeah.
As you should.
Yeah, like, I'm going to set a fucking precedent today.
I'll appeal it to the Supreme. Let's get Clarence Thomas on this.
I mean, you brought up AI right off the bat, and I think that's a huge freaking part of technology in schools. Like, it's at the forefront of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw a lot of stuff about the digital divide, the fact that not all students have equal access to technology. I think this was really highlighted during COVID when we first went into lockdown and students fully did not have internet at home.
And like I would have kids literally on Zoom with me on like a 4-year-old iPhone trying to do all of their work in the Notes app.
I mean, we were sending home hotspots and I was like, what's a hotspot? Oh, it's just an iPhone.
Ours were from T-Mobile, and they were like these little, they were black, and they had like the pink T on them, and they had like three little buttons.
Cute.
And then I saw in some place, they were like parking trucks in certain neighborhoods.
Oh my God.
They literally had like
cool.
a Wi-Fi truck and just like parked it in the poor neighborhood, I guess.
Oh my God. I kind of like that. It's like a traveling library, but traveling internet to give people
access.
They said,
children, come to this van.
Well, I bet that worked better than the hotspots, because the hotspots sucked ass, to be honest.
Ours were slow. The kids said they could like type and do Google Docs, but they could not watch videos.
Let alone load my beautiful Bitmoji classroom.
The Bitmoji classroom is something. It's all we had.
Like I said in the episode where we went over our Bitmoji classrooms, it was taking control in an uncontrollable situation. And boy, did I go off the deep end to do that. But
yeah.
If you have really great resources in school, it's super easy to be like, oh, they're fine. And then you like forget that like what you're sending home, if you're sending home homework has to be, you have to know if the kid has access to internet or not.
They have those little minutes on whatever app company your school has. I'm sure they get minutes. Oh, you have your minutes, your modules.
Yeah.
That's also, I was kind of debating a similar thing. We were talking about this today in a meeting. Today I showed up to a meeting and stayed the entire time. So.
Oh my God.
Not to brag. And I was collaborative in nature.
Shut the fuck up. Did they put a sticker on your sticker chart?
No.
We were
leave it in. We were talking about the pros and cons. So my school is allegedly 1-to-1. Allegedly involved.
Tell the people what 1-to-1 means. They don't all.
1-to-1 is every kid is supposed to have a device. I would say 85-90% of them have their device. Some of them lost it at some point and owe money, so we can't check one out to them. Some of them pretend to not have one to get out of doing work. So today we were debating the pros and cons of us staying like we are 1-to-1, the kids check out a Chromebook and carry it with them and take it home, versus having a cart in each classroom. And that's what we were talking about, is I was like, my preference would be to have a cart in each classroom, but for, because I don't assign homework, but for a lot of kids, they, like, a lot of classes do assign homework. And so we were just talking about how, like, that would make things a lot easier if we had carts in the classroom. But for the homework and the home access reason, that's why it's, like, not that plausible for us to do that.
Yes. Did your school use Schoolology?
No, we use Canvas.
Not Schoolology. Why the fuck did I say that? Power School. Does your school use Power School?
Oh. So, I think something at the district uses it on, like, an HR side, maybe. But no, I do not use Power School.
I was shocked. I did a video about the Power School hack that happened on December 28th. And I thought the video was going to flop. I thought nobody would care. Everybody cared about Power School being hacked.
You know, as a parent, one of my biggest goals is to make sure my kids feel confident, and that's going to extend into their school experience. I always want them to have the tools to succeed and stay curious about learning. I'm loving that IXL Learning has pre-K stuff, so I can get a jump on Jay's learning right out of the gate. The biggest thing for me is that it's not just about getting through assignments, it's about really understanding material. With IXL, kids have access to practice questions designed for all kinds of learners, whether they're more audio or visual, and it's so smart. It uses adaptive diagnostics to help pinpoint exactly where they need the most help, so they're not wasting time on things they already know. What I really hope most is that my kids will feel empowered through learning. With IXL, they can explore and learn independently, and IXL gives peace of mind that they're getting quality support no matter the subject. If you're looking for a partner to help your kids thrive, IXL is worth a shot. You just need one subscription, and you get access to all core subjects from pre-K through 12th grade, just everything you need in one place. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and Teacher Quit Talk listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everyone was like, what do you mean Power School was hacked? Why didn't my district tell us Power School was hacked? And I was like,
that's what you were like. I think you should leave that the way it is.
Well, I can tell you what happened. Power School sent messages out to every district, and then districts were tasked with telling their employees what happened.
Oh, my district would never tell us. There's a 0% chance that would be communicated.
And it's really shitty because they're offering credit monitoring to adults who were affected and identity protection for kids who were affected.
I wonder what filters the hackers used. They were like, we only want the dumb kids. We only want their credit scores. So one of my personal pet peeves in education is we always say education is underfunded, which is true. But one issue that I actually think is bigger than the underfunding is that the funding we currently have is being used very poorly, in my opinion. Sometimes funding is used great. When I get copy paper, that's good. Just to clarify, whenever the government brings me, and this is the way that my school distributes copy paper, is that randomly, mysteriously, you'll come in the morning and it'll just be on your desk. But no specific intervals, no different amounts. Sometimes it'll be 2 reams. Last week, I got 12.
We were very, very good last week. So the
oh my God, I actually was.
You.
Stop. I went to a meeting and didn't have a question the whole time. Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, they are conditioning you like a dog.
It's working. They're like, we realize the coffee or the copy paper to talking is related. So the more copy paper we give her, the quieter she is.
They're just keeping you happy. They value you. That's all.
As they should. So lots of money that gets spent in education, I find myself asking, why did you buy that? Why did you do that? So for example, mm-hmm. My entire district just got new copiers installed in every school, apparently. So for 4 days, we did not have a copier while they were in the process of being installed. And then I got an email that said how to register for the new copier, how to register your badge on the new copier. I open the attachment, 29 slides.
Oh, that's too many slides.
Perfect.
Who has the time?
Awesome. And then it said, if you need help, submit an IT ticket. We all know what that means. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, absolutely. That is not a good sign.
So I was like, you know what? 29 slides. Let's just get in there. Let's just get in there. And I found a different way to register myself that was much faster but still annoying. Shared my wisdom with the community. And the copiers we had before, what I will say is they were not new and they had limited abilities, but what they could do, they usually did well. Like, mm-hmm. It really didn't jam unless you had, like, cardstock or something. If you knew how to mess with the brightness at the right level, you could get a picture to be, like, semi-visible. The staple feature, good. Sometimes it would be a little slow logging in, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it would not give you that much of a warning about the ink, yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I would say 90% of the time, she did come through for me. The new copiers, I have several questions about. This is also on my other hill, which is the shittification of everything. Every product is just becoming slowly shittier. So I'm noticing that our almost 20-year-old copiers were actually much better made than our new ones. Because why does the new one jam whenever I want to staple something? So now I have to do all my stapling by hand. Do you know what it fucking feels like? I do mainly paper-based work with my gen ed students, so I have to staple all their goddamn packets by hand. And by I have to, I mean the poor students in my AP class that finish early have to. And they should be doing something else.
Seriously, like, let's advocate for and think of the children who are forced to staple now. Don't they kind of like it, though?
They really like laminating. They don't like stapling as much. They really like laminating. If I let them use the paper chopper, oh, that's a good day.
My gosh.
But yeah, the pictures look 1,000 times worse. They literally, you can't see shit. I don't feel bad about this. I was trying to print. It was one page with two pictures and like a couple sentences beneath each photo. But the photos were taking up a lot of space. And it was two different drawings of the Boston Massacre. And we were going to compare and contrast them for perspective. Both of them printed as almost solid black images. So I think I wasted like $40 worth of toner, but I don't fucking care. Because why did you buy a printer that can't copy a picture that was black and white to begin with? It's a print from the 1700s. It's not like I tried to print a sunset. It was literally a line drawing. And I don't know how much those copiers cost, and I don't want to know. I like my life not knowing.
Yes. And I think that that is good, because ignorance is bliss if we learn anything from history. Just the less thought, the better.
Yeah. I don't want to know anything about those copiers.
Mm-mm. My word.
And the worst part is it seems like it can staple. It gives you the option, but then it jams on the first one and cancels your whole copy job, so then you have to reload everything. I do have smart people articles.
Okay.
And speaking of technology, I know both of us have gotten canceled for using AI, but I actually really like this AI platform, and I'm sorry that I'm killing the planet. But it's called Perplexity AI, and you mm-hmm. can put in things that you think, and it will find you sources to tell you if they are true or not. So I could put in, like, wasteful spending on technology and education, and it finds... Sometimes the sources are weird. Like, one of them it found on Reddit, but it did cite it as an opinion. And then it has, like, EdSurge, EdWeek, like... GovTech, More Ed Week, New York Times, and it'll pull articles related to like very specific topics you're discussing. And you can put in like statistics and it'll tell you like, no, bitch, you're stupid, can't find. So I put some stuff in there about this, and this is it kind of summarizing these two articles. One is from Ed Week about schools spending billions of dollars on technology in COVID, and then the other one is from the Heckrig report about most ed tech money gets wasted. So it says school districts spend between $26 billion and $41 billion annually on technology. I'm gathering that that's the entire United States, not one individual district. Much of this investment fails to produce meaningful educational outcomes. The spending is often characterized by purchasing technology without long-term implementation plans. So like that die cut at my school that we don't have the computer to make it work. Like we only have one half of it. Buying devices that quickly become obsolete. This happened a lot when I was in high school. I don't see it as bad now. and then investing in products that have little proven educational benefit. I think this is also hardware and software. Like, a lot of the money that gets spent on, like, I don't want to call out any companies by names, but a lot of these little fucking module climb the ladder reading math to the moon things. Gosh,
yes. This isn't exactly funding that was allocated for technology, but ESSER funds were really, really misused, and a lot of it was technology.
That's what Ed Week is talking about.
Oh my gosh, yes, uh-huh. In Douglas County, Colorado, the school board spent $800,000 on Edgenuity, an online learning platform, in a no-bid emergency procurement. This is from defendinged.org. Rather than use local teachers, the platform utilized pre-recorded classes for students to watch, and after a period of delays that was nothing short of chaos, students were finally able to begin using the online platform. Students and teachers were highly critical of the program, and the district stopped using Edgenuity several weeks into the school year but did not receive a refund for their $800,000 payment.
And imagine if you literally just bought $800,000 worth of high quality printers and paper for every single classroom and told teachers, like, you got it. Mm-hmm. Print those articles, print those graphic organizers, make these workbooks, baby. Oh, this is so unrelated to technology. It's actually kind of anti-technology, but I'm thinking about doing this thing to review for my kids' AP exam where I'm going to either force them to buy and then I'll buy some. Because also, can I just say, I used to work in like an extremely impoverished district, and now I work in just a lower middle class district, night and day. Being able to be like, bring a notebook, and 80% of them do it, night and day. Anyway, composition books where they can like make a little review book, you know? Because I've done digital reviews before, but I feel like I just cheat on all of them and forget them. So I was going to do, like, you know, in elementary school where everyone would go get their composition books and then glue in today's little thing. I think I want to do that for them because I'm so tired of their little Chromebooks.
I think that's perfectly valid. I think that, like we talked about earlier in this episode, but the other day for you and I, it's like teaching kids how to do things by hand is a must. Like, using your brain and doing things by hand before you have technology help you, that depth of knowledge is so key. And I think that especially when we're missing things like critical thinking in the general public right now, we need to be focusing on kids getting used to make your review thing by yourself.
Yeah.
How do you find the information you need that is relevant to what you are doing? Because if you just have a program do it for you, there's things in there that you will miss.
Yeah. And like the skill of being able to source information. Like, I've seen the way that my students have been taught to get information and learn from something is very indicative of the way that they're tested. So a big thing in standardized testing, in at least the state that I live in and in most states, is giving kids passages and then expecting them to read about them, to read them and be able to answer questions about the passage and write essays or short answers about the question. So I noticed if I don't give them an article, a passage, a look on this page, they really struggle. So one thing I did, I made a video about this because I literally felt my mind ascending. So I had an activity that we were going to do on Thursday and Friday. Thursday morning, I kind of realized school's going to get canceled on Friday. It's looking like inclement weather is coming. And this activity was very much part one, part two. So I didn't want to do part one, not see you for 3 days, and then do part two. So I was like, let me just think of something real quick, like pull it out of my ass to do with these kids. And keep in mind, this is with my new class, so this is our third day of class together. So they don't know anything yet. So it's not like I can be like, do a project. Like,
right.
So I, real quick on Google Slides, made a timeline, no years or anything, and just put a couple major events we learn on there. So like Revolutionary War, the Second Great Awakening, the Civil War, the 1920s, and we did a textbook scavenger hunt where I forced them to use the index and they hated it. And we did in whole group, I showed them the textbook and the internet, and like I showed them to use how to use Britannica and Britannica Kids. And then I have a co-teacher for this class. So I said, I'll be on this half of the room with a computer if you want to go the internet route. And then my co-teacher was on the other side of the room with a couple different books. So she had my gen ed textbook. I have a supplemental textbook that I use more because I like it better. And my AP textbook. I always have my gen ed kids use my AP textbook. And they like it. There's more pictures. And like seeing them navigate a book, I was like, oh, I'm glad we're doing this, because I could tell they've just been used to click here, module here, this article here, five paragraphs with the exact answer you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And having them really like dig, they were not having a fun time. But then at the end of it, they were like, wow.
Yeah, I think a textbook scavenger hunt is one of my favorite activities ever. I sound like such a loser saying that, but like I really think it's so, because I would do the same thing, not with our textbook, but with like actual books, because mm-hmm. kindergartners are looking for things like title, spine,
yeah,
word, sentence. Like you're trying to get them to understand all of these new words when they're trying to navigate a book, because they don't know what a period is. They don't know punctuation. They don't, like, if they're learning the capital and lowercase letters, okay, where's the capital letter and the punctuation to show you a sentence? Yeah. And it's just so great for them to have that hands-on moment. And I think
of, like, really seeing it.
Yeah. And technology can't do that.
No, it really can't. And, like, there's a lot of things technology can do that physical pen and paper can't. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what technology's there for. And we're stupid if we try and have it replace physical books and physical media and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I found this article. This is one thing that I feel very passionate about. Training and usage gaps. Educators are rarely trained on new software. This often leads products being left unopened or unused. This results in wasted resources and no educational improvement. That was like AI's little sum up of this article on EdSurge about why teachers adopt new tech and why they don't. This also reminds me, I'm watching The Wire right now. If any of you spoil it for me, I will come to your house and make you forget you ever saw me.
I don't even know what that is.
The Wire, it's a really good like drama on HBO from like the early 2000s.
Good news, I won't spoil it for you.
One of the guys on there, this is like, I'm not spoiling anything for you if you haven't watched it, but I'm on a later season now, and one of the characters is a teacher, and he finds all of these random computers in the school's like storage room, because he went in there to look for board games for kids who are wanted to play after school, and then he finds all these computers and was like, oh, is no one using these? And no one had like trained anyone, and they just got delivered over the summer. And I've seen that happen so often, where a random delivery comes over the summer and just someone signs for it and the right hand isn't talking to the left. And so much of good technology gets wasted because no one is either A, aware that it's even in the building, or B, trained on how to use it. Because a lot of times people just figure it out and don't need training. Like, I think you and I are that way. We're pretty decent with technology. We can Google stuff. But a lot of times it's like we literally just didn't know that they were there. We didn't know that they had that available.
A lot of it is like, if we had time for extensive training, we would have it. And I think mm-hmm. that's one of the reasons I've always gotten really frustrated with PD, because I don't think I've been at many schools that, well, how many schools have I been at? Three. I've been at three schools, and only at one did I usually feel like PD time was used well.
Yeah.
But I, when I say usually, maybe like 70% of the time it was used, in my opinion, well. But when we're getting things like training on the ELA platform in April, I'm like, what the fuck? This would have been amazing when we were playing How Do You Do games in August.
And like one piece that I found really frustrating about PD around technology is that they're usually not ready to roll it out. So they'll be like, oh, your version will look a little different. Yeah, when you log in 2 weeks from now, the students will populate. Like they're not done in a timing that makes sense. So like I can't remember what platform this was. That's how bad it was. I don't even remember. I was required to go to this PD for a new technology piece my district was using, but the PD was 2 weeks before we had access to the platform. So, like, I'm a very hands-on person. The best way for me to learn technology is to, like, poke around in there myself and then have someone I can ask questions to. So usually in PDs on technology, I'll pull it up myself and be messing around in it trying to see what I could use it for. So it was like really hard to engage in a training where I can't actually do the things. And then like the person sharing their screen, but it's like a salesperson, so they don't have our students within there. So it's hard for them to show a lot of the features. Like I've just seen them implemented very, very poorly in a way that like they're, I don't want to say they're setting you up to fail, but they're just setting you up to not use it. Because now 2 weeks from now, I forgot everything that was in that training. And then 2 weeks from now, I've probably already heard now about a bunch of other initiatives that and forgot about that one completely because it was never followed up on or never actually implemented well.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's got to be really meaningful and relevant within the context of how it's used. And the salespeople just don't always have that.
And like one thing that like I think this is going to sound really condescending and like I'm just trying to throw admin words back at them, but I am being genuine right now. We need DI for tech training sessions because I have no reason to be in the same room as the person that doesn't know how to log in. And like if you want things to actually get implemented, I would literally like segregate your PD and be like, self-select the people can sign up comfortable with technology, not comfortable with technology. So that way in the not comfortable room, you can really focus on the basics because I've seen where like I ask a question that's like a very detailed question and a lot of people that are very tech hesitant like tune out because they're like, oh, I'm not going to do that. Where like, so I teach an AP class. So I'll ask like, can I integrate this with questions from the AP Classroom portal? Mm-hmm. And people that are very tech like wary are like, oh, this isn't for me. But I think if you created a space where people felt like they could ask their quote unquote dumb questions, how do I log in, how do I select all, things like that, mm-hmm. and then you had another room of people that are already good on that, then people would help each other more,
mm-hmm.
because you'd have like, I feel like and my time gets wasted because we go over stuff that I know how to do. Mm-hmm. And then I'm seeing people on the opposite end of me feel like they need more time and more attention and feel like they couldn't grasp anything because we've moved way too fast. And yep. like, I've been in situations where I'm the dumb one. Like when we did a literacy PD, I was like, put me in the dumb kid class. Like, what's a phoneme? What are you talking about right now? Mm-hmm. So like, no shade to the teachers that aren't good at technology. I think these rollouts would just be more effective because then I would have time to actually get comfortable with it and we could answer each other's questions as opposed to us all just leaving feeling like we didn't get what we needed from it.
That's a hugely good note. That's really, really astute. Because so, I think that would help DI me. So many things. I mean, we need to be differentiating the yeah. PD.
So I want to read a little bit from this Ed Surge article. And it was kind of going along with what you were saying about time and like teachers don't have enough planning time. So they're not going to have enough time to implement new technology. Also, I think we really underestimate how long it takes students to get comfortable with new technology. I think we look at them as like, oh, you're Gen Alpha, get on the iPad, you know what to do. But like, I have to teach them how to log into your email, how to save your password. Oh, God forbid I have to have them log in somewhere, 20 minutes of everyone resetting their password. And then because I take their phones, then they have to go get their phones to do their fucking verifications with their little codes and apps and whatnots. I digress. But anyway, this person, this is more of like an opinion piece from, what's her name? Tegan Carlson. You see, as a high school English teacher working more than 50-hour weeks, I just don't have time to invest into new technology. Any spare time I had, I spent on lesson planning, reading literature, and grading papers. The only time I had to explore technology was during professional development and over the summer. Translation, never. The district mandated PD tech instruction I experienced was inconsistent, infrequent, and seemed to focus heavily on early education apps like Class Dojo. And the summer, who are we kidding? I am not spending my summer in a self-induced comatose state.
Well, like, what are we asking teachers to do? We're not paying them outside of contract hours. And then any type of training, they're saying you have to do it outside of contract hours. Like, that's not how this works.
What I hate is when people are like, so I get paid in the summer, but I don't work in the summer. And they're like, oh, you're getting paid for nothing. And I'm like, no. I'm receiving the money that I earned in fucking April when I was in the trenches.
Yeah, I did division with my district to make sure that I wasn't earning $0, but it's you already earned it. You're just being given
it
now.
I do feel bad for the people who, like, don't get paid for, like, a full month in December. That sucks.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Because what my district does is they just take your salary and then you get paid on the 15th and the 30th. So I want to read more from this lady. She says, it's unfortunate. There's a ton of great technology to support teachers and enhance the learning experience. And if investment trends in ed tech are any indication, we'll see even more innovation in the upcoming years. The problem is not scarcity. It's product design and marketing. Because no matter the business model, whether the technology is marketed and purchased at the district level or whether it's a free app marketed to the teacher consumer, the product will have a short life if the teacher doesn't use it. To increase conversion and build a loyal customer base, research and development and marketing efforts need to focus on the return of the investment. And this is what you and I were saying, is that so much of the technology, you can tell it's built for administrators and then it ends up failing and then they ask why it's failing. But the teacher end and the student end is just so clunky and difficult to use that they're just never going to like land the way people want it to. And like when I think about how much money my district has spent, so we use Clever. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
So I saw the kids log in through Clever, and when the amount of apps that I see on there that I have no idea what they do, I have no idea what they're for. And like, I want to spend a day just literally going on Clever and opening every app on there. And then half of them I open, it's like, your district no longer uses. And I'm like, well, why are you here?
Oh my God. Just put it in Clever and forget it.
And I just want Google Classroom. I miss you, Google Classroom.
Google Classroom. Oh, look, we're okay. Anyways, never mind. Anyways, I think at the end of the day, thinking about how students and teachers are actually using this technology and training them to do so is good for everyone. Like EdSurge.
And it was like an opinion article.
I mean, they're so right that it will shorten the life of the product being used if it's not implemented and rolled out well. Because people are going to be like, oh, this shit doesn't work for me. Let's get something else.
But I love where students have a join code and they don't have to log in through a platform. So like Blookit, Nearpod, Quizlet Live, anything like that where it's just the Quizlet Live where it's a QR code. Oh, I love that. They all turn their little Chromebooks around, use the webcam. And it's so quick.
God, literally, yes. That's... Even a child can do it in my classroom back in the day. All right, my baby's crying, so it sounds like that's a wrap on my experience here today.
We hope you enjoyed our multi-part technology episode. Let us know if you love the multi-part, if you hate the multi-part, if you want us to delete the whole podcast, and we'll do it.
Yeah, at this point, I don't fucking care. I love you. Bye, you guys.
Bye.
We like you very much.
We really do.
Good luck with your jobs.
Good luck. It's rough out there.
Quit
Hopefully
or don't.
It snows and you don't have to go to school.
Lord willing. All right, bye.
Just as a disclaimer, because I am someone who is actively teaching, everything on this podcast is my personal opinion and does not reflect my district, my state, my employer, my students, or my admin. Everything on this podcast was recorded on personal time, on personal equipment, and is a completely separate endeavor from my school district.
Yeah, leave her alone.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.